bless the Lord tonight for his healing power and for his majesty. Praise the Lord. I'm just getting off this jacket and I'll maybe try and sing a hymn at the end of the service. There's a hymn I have in mind and I think it's in keeping with what I'm trying to say. I'd like to read tonight from Jeremiah and chapter 5 as an introduction, and the verse here, Jeremiah chapter 5. I'd like to thank everybody who prayed for me as I was away last week, and also when I came home I had a cow that tried to break my leg. She didn't do it, but she done her best, and I've been on the mend ever since. But believe you me, I got a bad kicking, and she was kicking her own calf. Now, what sort of an animal kicks their own calf? Well, I'm not going to go into that now, but there's two bloodlines. There was a bloodline that was evil, and there's a bloodline that's good. And that same line's in animals. I believe that tonight, but that's not why we're here tonight. I want to read a verse here, and it's quite a sharp one. When I say it's quite a sharp one, it could be heavy. But I'm not going to dwell on it. I just want to read it as an introduction. And it's verse 24 of Jeremiah chapter 5. And God is talking about his own people, the children of Israel and the children of Judah. Now, Brother Branham said we're spiritual Israel. So when he's talking about this, we can apply this to ourselves.
Amen.
Now, I believe I can apply it to my own self. And whether you can or not tonight, that's irrelevant to me. I want to speak the things I believe the Lord has spoke to me only.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And it says in verse 24, now say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. And we're going to ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, again tonight we thank you for the songs of Zion we've been singing. And we ask you, Lord, to come in among us tonight and bless the speaking of your word.
Yes.
And Lord, just let nothing be said that ought not to be said, but only let the things be said, Lord, that you want your people to hear. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be edified tonight, that we'll be built up. And Lord, you'll speak to us again from your word in Jesus' precious name. We commit it to you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's not nothing to do with a sermon, but this is a hateful time of the year. Why is it a hateful time of the year? Well, to me it's a hateful time of the year because the clock has changed. And with a light out. You know, we're sitting here, we're almost in darkness. Now, don't take that the wrong way. Do you know, if I had had my way, what time this meeting would have been at? 3 o'clock this afternoon. In daylight. Now, that's beside the point. I'm only saying them things. I hate the night time. Jesus said the night time cometh whenever no man can work.
Amen.
Now if you're working at night, you're working with artificial light. There's no substitute for daylight.
Amen.
Daylight is the best.
Amen.
And what did Jesus say? He said, while you have the light, walk in the light.
Amen.
So in other words, when he said that, he didn't say it, but he said that you're in a time that's going to expire.
Right.
We're in a time zone.
Amen.
Now, it's only nonsense to say we're in eternity. That's an anti-Christ doctrine.
Amen.
None other.
Right.
How can you be in eternity and have a calendar? How can you be in eternity and have a birthday?
Amen.
You know there's no birthdays in heaven. And there's nobody getting older.
Amen.
Neither is there anybody getting younger.
Amen.
Because time shall be no more.
Amen.
If you miss that time, you have missed your opportunity.
Amen.
Pardon me? And if you miss your opportunity for to have the harvest gathered, you may never get the opportunity again in that season. You have missed it. You know what I'm going to say tonight? There's what a man said recently, and it's so true. He said, there's so many meetings. There's so many churches. But how many people are getting to Christ?
Amen.
And how many meetings are there all over the land and all over the place? There's new fellowships, there's new works, there's new buildings, there's old buildings. But how many people are getting to Christ? I want to speak for a while tonight about the harvest. And I want to say, what is our response to the harvest? Now, it's not the harvest itself. Tonight, there is a harvest. Now, I might come to that later. But listen, tonight, there's a harvest. But I want to speak to you tonight, not so much about the harvest, but I want to speak to you about your response to the harvest. Now, to widen your response, or to awake our response, I will say. That's why I have said that there's appointed weeks for harvest. So there's a time for the harvest to be taken. Now, being a farmer, and having lived on the farm, I know a wee bit about the harvest. And the farmer, to have a seedbed harvest or a root crop, he'll break up the fallow ground with a plough and he'll plough the field and he'll make a seedbed, and then there'll be a time of sowing. And when you have a time of sowing, then later in the year you'll have a time of reaping. And the Lord here in this verse, and I'm not going to dwell on this verse, for I want to move on tonight from it, but it said that he would send the Lord that giveth rain, both the farmer and the lot of rain in his season. Now listen, in case you have forgotten, whenever the seed goes into the ground, it has to die. And when it dies, there's a germination process there. And that germination represents the resurrection from the dead. And Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abideth alone. But he said, if it die, it bringeth forth. It comes forth again and it bears fruit.
Amen.
But whenever that seed breaks in the ground, it's crying out for something. It's crying out for moisture. You know, the moisture that comes on it is the farmer rain. And the farmer rain will burst the seed in the ground and make it begin to germinate and make it begin to come forth. That's the farmer rain. That's a type of the Holy Ghost coming on a sinner to convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now let me say this. To say that the harvest is over, I don't want to say tonight the harvest is over, because if the harvest is over, then you say we no longer need the farmer rain and we no longer need the latter rain. Now the latter rain is simply the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the crop to ripen the crop and to harden the pickle. And inside that you've got the grain. And that represents the germ of life. That's what the grain represents, the germ of life. Now on the outside of the grain you've got the husk and you've got the alms on the barley. And there you can eat them and you can fill your belly with them, but you will not have the finest of the wheat. You will only have pigs feeding. That's what the prodigal son lived on. Pigs feeding. Let me say this. When a man or a woman gets away from the will of God, they're no longer eating the finest of the wheat, but they're starting to feed upon the swine's food. And a Christian never was meant to feed upon the swine's food. He was only meant to ever eat the finest of the wheat.
Amen.
That's what God wants us to have.
Amen.
Now, that's taken a long time for to get through and maybe have went off the rails a bit. But I want you to notice that there's appointed weeks of the harvest. God said, while the earth remaineth, there'll always be the sun and the moon, there'll always be the seasons, and there'll always be seed time and harvest time.
Amen.
You know, we never have a harvest service here. Now, some people might think we ought not to have a harvest service, but you know, I think if we had a harvest service, it wouldn't do us any harm. It's a thanksgiving for God. We plant and we water, but God gives the increase. That's right. And nobody plants a field and expects to take nothing. You know what was said? I think it was Jacob who planted a field and he took 100-fold. You know, don't let me maybe go down too much on the natural crop, the natural harvest tonight. What about the spiritual harvest? Because the Lord spoke about a harvest. And it's the Lord that's speaking here about a harvest. You know what we ought to be? We ought to be expecting to take a harvest.
Amen.
But we ought also to be under expectation, and we ought to also have in mind that one day harvest time is going to be over, and we have spent the time, and will we have spent the time wisely or unwisely? What way are we spending the time? Now, it's appointed time. There's an appointed time for harvest.
Amen.
You know, without disturbing you or getting off the subject, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And we know we're living in the last of the last days. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, there never was a time when there was as many demons. We heard this this morning. There never was a time on the face of the earth that there was as many demons loose. Principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. There also never was a time on earth whenever there was as many false prophets or false teachers or false anointed. We know we're in the last of the last days. And you know, false teachers will just come out boldly and make a statement that's anything but the truth. Not right. And you know, I heard a statement recently, and this is what the statement was. And funny, it was about God taking a harvest. Now I just heard this, and it was on the internet, and then I was disconnected. That internet system that I have is a wee bit like a yo-yo. But I heard enough to do me. And this man was on preaching. You know something, without getting off the subject, some of the evangelists today that are preaching, they're multi-millionaires. And like Tommy said this morning, what Peter said, silver and gold have we known. You know, there's one of the top men that ministers on the TV channels, he's worth $152 million. 152 million. I don't think it's worth it. Not worth it. Do you know that chapter we were at there? I didn't go into it, but that chapter we were at tells you about them waxing fat and rich.
Right.
Jeremiah chapter 5, and you take the time when you go home to read it. And you know what else it says? That the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. What's wrong with people today? They want something to tickle their ears.
Amen. That's right.
And you know what the Bible says? In the last days they'll heap to themselves teachers. Yeah. Having itching ears.
Right.
Yeah. You want somebody to get up and play to the gallery. When you play to the gallery, you say what the people want you to say. But Paul said, if I please men, I will not be the servant of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know, he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
Now, the gospel is the good news. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe. Well, let me say this tonight, that we're either in the harvest, we're either part of it, or we're not. But I believe our response to the harvest should be one that is with reverence and one that is with godly fear.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, we see here that Jesus says, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now listen, I briefly started to mention about false teachers and false prophets. A false prophet made a statement there recently, and I don't know his name, and I don't want to know his name, but I believe it was a false statement what he made. And this is the statement what he made. He said, if you pray and if you fast, it will have no effect on the harvest. Because he says, you can pray all you want and you can fast all you want, that has nothing to do with the harvest. He said, the only thing that the harvest is concerned about, the only thing to do with the harvest, is the seed. Well, that's not right. Because when Jesus speaks here to these disciples, he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers.
Amen.
Into the harvest.
Hallelujah.
You know, if the harvest didn't need prayer, Jesus wouldn't have said that.
That's right.
Now I want to say that that's the key to getting a harvest.
Amen.
The key to getting a harvest is prayer. You know, today there's people preaching you no longer need a prayer meeting. There's people preaching today you no longer need to fast. There's people preaching today and they're preaching you no longer need to wait on God and ask God. There's people preaching today that mercy's over. Now that's not why I've come here tonight. I don't believe that mercy's over.
Amen.
If mercy was over, we'd all be finished.
Amen.
I believe that tonight with all my heart. You know, Jesus said, Jesus sent out these other 70 men. Now he'd already got 12 disciples, but he picked 70 men and he sent them to go before him well as wherever he was going to come, and they went into every town and every city and every place where the Lord was going to come. They went before him, 70 men that went before him. And he was preaching the kingdom of heaven. And he says, in verse 2, I want to run it past you again. Listen to this, what he said. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, let me say this here. We need to recognize the harvest. We need to recognize that there's a harvest out there. Not only do you need to recognize that there's a harvest out there to be won or to be saved, you need to recognize that it's great. Now you can't say the harvest is over. I know there's a verse in the Bible that says the harvest is over, the summer has ended, and you're not saved. But the Lord here is speaking to these disciples and he says the harvest is great. I can't imagine how a man would look at Tommy. I'm not saying this because Tommy's here tonight, but I can't imagine how a man would look at Tommy or look at any other man and say to him, where would you go to preach? Amen. While you're in the world, the Bible says you're the light of the world.
Amen.
A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, if you're standing behind a desk and you call yourself a preacher, if you're not preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, God never sent you.
Amen. Amen. Right.
You're not sent from God. And if you don't want to see a harvest of souls, if you show me a church where there's no prayer meeting, you show me a church where there's no waiting on God, you show me a church where there's no fasting. Know what you're showing me? You're showing me a holy huddle. We're saved and the rest can go to the hot place. We ought to have a fresh vision.
Amen.
We ought to have a fresh vision.
Amen.
Do you think Jesus came down to this earth to waste His time? Do you think the M70 wasn't successful? Can you tell me that the Lord picked out 70 men and sent them before Him into whatsoever city He would go? And are you going to tell me today that they went out and they were without success? I don't believe that. I believe they were sent from the Lord.
Amen.
And I believe a man that's sent from God will have a message. I believe a man that has sent from God will have something that the people need to hear.
Amen.
It's true.
Amen.
Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to preach the gospel. Nobody wants to go for the Lord. Jesus said the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Now, it's not your harvest, it's not my harvest, it's not the church's harvest, it's the Lord's.
Amen.
It's the Lord's harvest. And I'll tell you now, if the Lord's seed is sowed, the Lord's crop will grow.
Amen.
Not the devil's. Now, the devil sowed his own when he sowed the tares among the wheat. The devil has his own crop, or harvest. It's not right, but the Lord also has His.
Amen.
I want you to notice the harvest. The notices of the harvest. We're moving about all over the place. I never was any good, maybe, at moving about all over the scriptures, but I want you to move with me to John's Gospel in chapter 4. And we're going rightly. We've got maybe a bit of stuff to cover, but John's Gospel chapter 4, and it's verses 34. Listen to this. I want now to emphasize the fact that we need, now listen, I'm sure there's people here and you pray and you pray and you pray. Well, what I'm here for tonight is to tell you to don't stop.
Amen. Amen.
To keep on praying. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you have fasted and prayed, I'm here tonight to tell you to go back and pray and fast again.
Amen.
And wait on God until you get the answer. Amen. I'm here tonight. Now I want to say this here. This is Jesus Christ. And in verse 34 of John's Gospel chapter 4, the disciples have sent away for to get something to eat. Isn't that right? And during the time they're away, Jesus comes by and He sits on the well by Samaria, and the woman, an ill-famed woman, come out to draw water out of the well. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. You know the story better than I do, but Jesus says to her, go call your husband. And then He discerns the thoughts and intents of her heart, and He tells her all the things that ever she done. And she goes into the city and she says, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? But during the time that the Lord is speaking with this woman and communicating with her, the disciples are on their journey and they're coming back, and they've brought the feast suppers with them and the loaves with them. and the Diet Coke. And they say to one another, has anybody given him anything to eat? And what was his reply? His reply was in verse 34, and Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Amen.
Then he says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already.
Amen.
To harvest. I tell you, while the disciples thought about getting something for the natural body, Jesus was working on the spiritual body.
Amen.
And there was a woman whose life was in tatters, and she just got born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And then he goes on, you see, some people say it's not the season. You know that message, that sermon that Tommy preached? I thought it was a wonderful thought. Whenever the impotent man sat by the pool of Bethesda for an angel, waiting on an angel coming down. But Jesus came, and it wasn't the season.
Amen.
Hold back. When Jesus comes, he makes the season. He brings the season with him.
Amen.
Jesus will bring the season with him for deliverance and healing and a ministry of deliverance and a ministry of salvation and the power of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ brings it with him.
Amen.
Don't tell me it's not the season when Jesus walks in the room.
Amen.
For every time he walks in the room, he brings the season with him. And let me say this, outside of him there is no season.
Amen.
Made the seasons. Don't say it's not the season. Somebody says, if you had tried this years ago, you'd have more success. Somebody else says, oh, you need to wait. Do you? You wait long enough, you'll have no call to wait any longer. You'll have to be gone. Or else the Lord will have come. Or else both. The Lord will come and take you. But you'll be gone.
Right.
Now there's appointed time for harvest. There's appointed time. What did the Lord say here again in John's Gospel? He said about his meat, what was to do, and then he says, Don't you say that there's 4 months and then comes the harvest. He says, Behold, I say unto you. And what did he say for to do? He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Amen.
He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know what the lifting up of the eyes represents? Do you know what it represents? It represents a fresh vision.
Amen.
You know the Bible. You know what the Bible says about a vision? It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, this year's almost gone. Where's it went to? Now, we're not counting heads. We're not counting numbers. But I tell you, the year can go in. And when we look back on the year, sometimes we haven't very much to show for it. I mean that. Not only do we look back on the year and say we haven't much to show for it, sometimes you look back on your life. What are we to show for it? I tell you, one of these days the harvest is going to be over.
Amen.
It's going to be over. It's all over. No more preaching. No more appeals. We sing a wee song, there'll be no more, there's going to be a meeting in the air, and we sing that wee song, and we sing that there's going to be no more nights of waiting in prayer. I haven't had any nights waiting on prayer. Have you? We ought to be, but. Now, listen, I remember an Elam, and the denomination. was an unclean woman. But I can tell you at Manchester night, I was in a half night of prayer at 3 o'clock in the morning, where men and women were in that room weeping and asking God to move. Yeah. And then we say we have got the message. We go home and lay down in front of the television and get the kettle on. You know something? We need revival.
Amen.
We need God to shake us.
Amen.
We need to get an awakening.
Truth.
I tell you now, I'm not condemning you. There's nobody lays down any quicker than myself. But I believe I've got a responsibility. I believe if we know more than somebody else, we have more of a responsibility. Because the Lord has allowed us to see certain things. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for the white are ready to harvest. You know, I said that the Lord was speaking to the woman while the men went for the loaves of bread and whatever the disciples went for. But I want you to notice something, and you probably have noticed it. And the disciples came back, and this came to the Lord, and in verse 31 you'll read, in the meanwhile his disciples prayed and saying, Master, eat. I want you to recognize and want you to notice something here. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, Jesus was fasting. Did you know that? He was fasting. So when Jesus went on a ministry tour, now most of his life was a ministry tour, but when he came in contact with this woman, he was fasting. If you don't get anything out of this meeting tonight, get this. Fasting will move the hand of God.
Amen.
And prayer and fasting will move the hand of God double.
Right.
And if you want another scripture for that, I haven't got it in my head, but somewhere in the Gospels, I'm not going to say it's Luke chapter 9. It might be Luke chapter 9 or it might be Luke chapter 10, but don't turn to it. But listen, I might try and tell you the story. Jesus is up the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's Peter, James, and John with him, isn't that right? And there he talks with Moses and Elijah, who discuss his decease that he will have at Jerusalem. And when Jesus comes down the mountain the next day, there is a big commotion, because there's a man who has brought his son to the disciples of the Lord, and they have asked the disciples to cast the demon out. And the disciples are not able to do it. They're not able to do it. And Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they bring the child to Jesus, and while they're bringing him to Jesus, the devil tears him and throws him on the ground. But Jesus casts that unclean spirit out of him and delivers him unto his father, and he's every bit whole. And then later his disciples say to the Lord, why could we not cast him out? And the Lord said, because of your unbelief. And then he says, but having said that, now this is my own words, this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting.
Amen.
If you want to cast the devil out, set yourself to prayer and fasting.
Amen.
If you want to see the devil defeated, set yourself to prayer and fasting.
Amen.
If you want to see a harvest of deliverance, set yourself to prayer and to fasting. And listen, don't listen to anybody telling you you don't need to pray, or don't listen to anybody telling you you don't need to fast. For if Jesus had to go up into the mountain and pray all night to his heavenly Father, you a sinner and I a sinner, saved by grace, ought not we need to pray also?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, I want to go back to the natural harvest. I'm going to try and type it to the spiritual harvest tonight. God gave us a vision of the lost. God, give us a vision for souls. God, give us a vision where we'll wait on God and ask the Lord to save souls. I believe we're responsible for preaching the gospel. I believe that. I believe we're responsible for them that we come in contact with. Now I know that you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. But at the same time, if God speaks to you to warn somebody and you don't warn them, what did the prophet Ezekiel said? He said the Lord would require their blood at your hands. You never tell them. Never tell them. We ought to be telling people the gospel.
Amen.
In season and out of season. Amen. This Bible is to be preached. Now I want tonight, and I need to move on. The time is flying by so quickly. But I want tonight to look quickly at the reaper. You know the Lord told the story, and he told it about the end of the world, and he said the angels came and they were the reapers. But listen tonight, if you're part of this preaching, if you're part of this fellowship, I believe that you're also a reaper. You might stand behind a pulpit, you mightn't preach, but you can be a reaper. And I want tonight to look at we said there's a natural harvest, and we said that there's a spiritual harvest. The Lord talked about a great harvest, and a harvester, a farmer has a harvester for reaping the harvest. And what a harvester needs, it needs a service. It needs a service. You know, Christians are like harvesters. They need a service. They need a makeover. And I've written down a few things here that the harvester needs. And one of them is the harvester needs the knife sharpened. Another one is that the harvester needs to have a cutting edge. Now that might be the same thing, but a cutting edge. Another thing that the harvester needs, it needs oil on the chains. And there's another thing that the harvester might need. Need the belts tightened. Now, I don't know if you've got all... I should have written them all down over there. I'm too lazy to go over. There are four things that's essential to the harvester working right. I have a wee bit of experience about an iron harvester. I know what it's like for one chain, one link in the chain to break. The whole thing stops. Where the brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing.
Amen.
You only need one person out of sequence. Amen. You only need one to start the flow. And you've lost the power of God. You've lost the blessing. You've lost the anointing. You've lost the conviction of the Holy Ghost coming in the room. You know, I've got a whole list of stuff written down here. Boy, you can have a whole list of stuff, but unless the Lord will take His word and speak to your heart, it'll do you no good. God, trust the Lord and speak into your heart tonight.
Amen.
I believe that Jesus' ministry had all of these things. Now, if you're working with a blunt knife, it'll not cut. It's not right. And let me say this, the Christian that has the knife sharp, he's battle prepared.
Amen.
He's battle prepared. So the Christian that has got the knife sharp, he's prepared for the battle. And the devil will never take him unawares. You're battle prepared tonight. You know, tonight you're at it, battle prepared or else you're not. So God looks at his people tonight and he says, are you ready to go into the battle? Are you not? What way are you? What way are we tonight? What way are we in 2016, near the end of the year? Are we battle prepared? Have we got the knife sharp? Now to have the written it down here. Sorry, I've written down the battle prepared means the bearing of the witness. Now, in John's Gospel, if you'll just turn over to John chapter 15, 26 and 27, I'm going to tell you how you get battle prepared. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, tells you how that you get battle prepared, and I'll tell you how you get battle prepared. It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And no Holy Ghost, no preparation. No Holy Ghost, no preparation for the battle. You can't go. Can't be a part of it. Verse 26, Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me."
Amen.
Now the Holy Ghost will testify of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If somebody comes and they'll not testify of Jesus Christ, then it's not the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right.
I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it looks like. If it doesn't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's the one that's to be exalted.
Amen.
And listen to what it says in verse 27. And it says, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Now that's to have the knife sharpened. Bear witness. Bear witness to what? Bear witness to the resurrection of the dead. Bear witness to the power of God. Bear witness to the Savior. Bear witness to the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Bear witness that Jesus Christ is coming again. Bear witness. I hope this is not going to bore you to death. The cutting edge. What does it mean to have the cutting edge? It means to be ever ready. Now that's not the battery. That's the Christian. Because the battery will go flat. The Christian will not. The Christian is to be ever ready. Ever ready. That's the cutting edge.
Amen.
You know, some people, we ought not to be able to have to go to think of the gospel. We ought to have the gospel in our lips.
Amen.
We ought to have the gospel in our heart. We ought to have the gospel in our lips. And we ought to be ever ready to give to every man a reason for the hope that is within us. And quickly, I want to say this here. I'm spending a lot of time here, but it's John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Again, it's the Holy Ghost. Said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." That is a believer that has got the cutting edge. That is a believer that is ever ready. And a believer like that is missing nothing. Did you hear that?
Amen.
He's missing nothing. I'm moving on. I've written down another one. The oil on the chains. The oil represents the anointing for the service. That's what the oil represents. And the best example of that is in Luke's Gospel chapter 4. Now there's many of them, but this is one that I'm using. In Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 18, and you know what it says. It says that Jesus went into the temple, or he went into the synagogue, and there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah the prophet, and when he had found the place where it says these words in verse 18, this is what Jesus said: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Amen.
But he goes on to say, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." What he said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I want to tell you that's why the anointing was given.
Amen.
The anointing was given to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel, that's what the anointing's for. No preaching the gospel, no need for the anointing. I believe that tonight with all my heart. Now, there's another one here. That's the oil on the chains. The oil on the chains. The oil, you know, will make you bend. Make you flexible. Makes you can move. You know, if you're too stiff, sometimes you need a bit of oil on you. Take a machine that can't move. Put a drop of oil on it and leave it a while and see what happens. You know, we need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on you.
Amen.
You get an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on you, you start to change. You know, where am I here? I want to talk now about the machine that has the belts that need tightened. You know, a belt that needs tightened. That's a belt that's driving. A driving belt on any piece of equipment, if it's too slack, what will it do? Start to slip. And the more work you give it, the more it'll slip. The more loads on it, the more it'll slip. It'll not slip when there's no load on it. But it'll slip when you need it most to not to slip. It'll start to slip. You know, tonight, we ought to have the belt tightened regular. It's not right. You know, what does a slack belt represent? I'm going to tell you what it represents. It represents laziness. Slack belt. That's right. It represents laziness to the fact that sometimes we go to church once in the week. We go on Sunday morning. We say we've done our bit. We have it done. We can home now. The rest of the week's our own. You know, the devil wants slack to slacken your belt. Did you know that? He wants to slacken your belt. Do you know what else a slack belt represents? Do you? I'm going to tell you. I'm not really a smart person, but I know this. It represents an uneven drive to the machinery or the equipment. An uneven drive. An uneven source coming through the system. Uneven. Undependable.
Amen.
You know the Christians tonight with a slack belt? You know any people, any Christians tonight that are hanging back, that are slipping a bit? I tell you now, there are no use in the harvest. You put a mower into a field of silage with a slack belt and see where you get. Put a harvester in with a chain that sees, sitting rusted. You know why? Never used. You'll soon break a link. But this belt slipping, the whole thing will stop. Half done. God doesn't want anything half done. God wants it full done.
Amen.
Jesus never done anything in half. He done the full measure. You know, I don't want to sound critical tonight. It's not. I'm not here to bait you small. I'm here to motivate you. That's the reason why I'm here. I'm not here to try to beat you small tonight and tell you you're bad, you're this, you've done that, or you haven't done this, you haven't done that. No, I'm not. I'm here to remind you of the things that's in this Bible. And to remind you that the harvest time is short time, and we have only a certain time allotted to us. You may say, I don't care about it. What about the unsaved loved ones you have then?
Amen.
You don't care about them. What about the people who can't pray for themselves? You know, you're in this meeting tonight. Why are you in it? I'll tell you why you're in it. You might know it, but you're in it because somebody prayed for you somewhere, sometime.
Amen.
And Jesus said he prayed for Peter because that we would pray.
Amen.
You know, there's a scripture for the man that has the belt slackened. It's in Luke's Gospel and it's chapter 9. Did you know that? And it's the very last of the chapter. Listen, I'll not read the last verse. I'll read a verse or two before it. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, do you think the Lord was concerned about this harvest, or was he just winding them up? I tell you, he had a burden on his heart for souls.
Yes,
Jesus Christ had a burden for you and me.
Amen.
Jesus Christ bled and died to save this world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
And verse 61 says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Lord, I'll go, but I have to go. I have to do something else first. Lord, I'll do it. As soon as I'm done working for myself, I'll start for you. As soon as I have done, Lord, what I want to do in my life, then I'll think about doing something for you. As soon as I earn enough money, I can retire. As soon as I do this, Lord, then I'll do that. What did the Lord say in verse 62? This is the man that the belt's slipping on. You mightn't know it, but the belt's slipping. This is what he said. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know, there's many people tonight and the belt's slipping, they don't know it. They've lost the edge. They've lost the cutting edge. They've lost the sharpness. They've lost the vision. You know what that is? That's the work of Satan. That's the work of the devil.
Right.
I tell you tonight, we need to go to the workshop. And we need to get a makeover.
Amen.
We need to get a Holy Ghost experience.
Yes.
We need to get the power of God. We need to get down in front of the Lord and start waiting on him.
Amen.
You know, I want to conclude tonight with the last call. The last call of the harvest. Where do you read about the last call of the harvest? You read about it in the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 14. And this is the last call. You know, whenever you go to an airport, you've got your flight book, you've got your boarding pass, you've got your gate number, and you're sitting waiting for the flight to be announced. And whenever the gate opens and the gate's open and the flight's now boarding, you need to start making your way to get that gate. If you don't, you're going to miss it. You're in a time frame. When God starts to speak to you, you need to listen. For if you don't listen, God can move on. But if you sit there and don't make any shape of getting on that plane, the door of that plane's going to close. And she's going to go without you. But some of the airports, not now most of them, but some of them doesn't, they have a lost call. Flight number.
Right.
You need to listen. Because if you don't hear that, you can miss your flight. You miss it. Yeah, start all over again. You missed an opportunity. I want to say there's a lost call to the harvest. Now God is going to have a harvest. God is going to have a people. Amen. There's absolutely no doubt about it. God is going to have a people. But God wants you to help them. Now if somebody says God doesn't need any help, well, it depends which way you're looking at it. Why did the Lord choose 12 disciples if he didn't need a help? Why did he say, it's expedient for you to go away, for if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost won't come, but if I go, I'll send him unto you.
Amen.
So God appointed men to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Now listen to this last call. This is the last call. And John's here, and I'm going to read verse 13 of Revelation chapter 14. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, hear this, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thirst in the sickle and reap, for the time for thee to reap, for the time for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, thirst in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Praise the Lord. And I believe that's the last call for the harvest. I'm going to read it again, for I messed it up a bit when I was reading it. Verse 14, and I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thirst in the sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, thirst in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. I believe that's the catching away.
Amen.
I believe it's over there. That's the last call. The anything outside of that goes through the tribulation. Anything outside of that, people seal their testimony with their own blood. The catching up has took place.
Amen.
That's the last call. One of these days, last call. That means then it's all over. No more pleading nights of prayer. No more waiting on God. No more interceding. No more opportunities to tell your loved ones. Did you ever tell them never to take the mark of the beast? Well, we ought to. If they're not saved, we ought to be telling them not to take it. The ticket's eternal damnation. I tell you, that can happen tomorrow. That can happen tomorrow. We're looking forward to Christmas, aren't we? It's that time of the year again, aren't we? We've all got things to do. We've all got this. We're building, we're planting, we're living, we're what we're meant to do. We're doing all these things. But just like it said about Noah, they built the planet, they were given in March and taken in March until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And God shut the door. Why? You know, you used to sing an old song in the denomination, will there be any stars in your crown? Will there be any stars in your crown? That was so good one. Why is that, boys? I don't know if I'll have any. Just if I get the crown on, it'll be alright. We ought to have a vision for the lost.
Amen.
Believe that with all my heart. I've spent my time. I thank you for listening. I want to thank you for praying for me while I was away. We had good meetings over in Bromley with Brother Derek. We had good meetings. The Lord was good to us. We had a good time from the presence of the Lord. And as I said, when I came home, I was bond jacked with a kicking cow, but I'm on the mend. Praise the Lord. I want Sister Elder to come, and we're going to try and sing a hymn. I hope her brother's got it on the projector tonight. It's in the Redemption Hymn Book, and it's 559. And I believe that it's a great wee hymn. This is an old hymn, and it's a true one. And I believe it's also a hymn that Brother Brown sang this hymn, but that's not the reason. If that's the reason why you're singing it for the wrong reason. You need to sing it because God has spoke to you. And I trust that God will speak to you even while you sing it again with me tonight. And it's about the Lord of the harvest. And it's 559 of Redemption Hymn Book. We may have sang this before once. Can everybody see that? You want to stand on your feet and get up the back? I want you to make it your prayer tonight.
Amen.
I believe we're responsible.